Involved just recently with a what they call a think tank. Sort of interesting concept, isn't it? A think tank in regard to a vision for Bhaktivedanta Manor by 2020. And one thing that keeps coming up in the discussions about various aspects of things is the need to understand the history of things. And a lot of considerations come up in that, because there are devotees involved in that think tank who are just in their early 20s, some in their early 30s, some devotees even are older but have only been devotees for the last 10 or 15 years. Whereas we know now this yatra, this English yatra, has been established for 42 years. That's and as we see, that's longer than most of the devotees present have been in their present lives. And it brings up a lot of reflection about, as I say, about history. You start reflecting back on 5 years back, 10 years back, 20 years, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And for instance, you know, Sitaram, he has a little 8-year-old son. I mean, he doesn't know a world without the internet, without mobile phones, without fax machines, without television, without radio, without electricity. And then I think back, well, what kind of a world do I remember? What kind of a world do I remember prior to whatever you want to think? And I can think of a world without the internet. I can think of a world without mobile phones. And that's not too long ago. In 1977, the year Srila Prabhupada departed from this world, I was serving as the president of the Delhi Temple. Not the Delhi Temple as we now know it. I can also remember when Delhi Temple was a little house, just a little house. The original Todamal Lane Temple, where Radha Patasarati were installed by Srila Prabhupada, the living room was the temple room, and almost 2/3 of it was taken up by the Singhasan. So, but I was in a larger building, half a semi-detached house in Lajpat Nagar in 1977. And Srila Prabhupada was passing his last days in Vrindavan. And I became like the point man for communication about so many different things to the rest of the world, mainly to Rameshwar Swami in Los Angeles and Jai Tirtha here in London. But in 1977, you couldn't even get a landline connection from Vrindavan to Delhi. You couldn't get an ISD call out of the country. You had to book calls, trunk calls they were called. That was a time when telegrams still existed. I used to sometimes get a telegram from Tamal Krishna Maharaj: tell Rameshwar Swami stop, da 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 da, and whatever it was. And that's only 33 years ago, 34 years ago. So we can all, as life goes by and we get older, we can remember, there was a time, I remember, like, again, I can remember my mother used to say, what are you listening to the radio all the time for? Why don't you, you know, why don't you play the piano with us? So people used to sing song around the piano on Friday nights. That was my mother's entertainment when she was young. My grandmother, she and her husband, they carved out a farm out of the bush of South Australia without any electricity or running water. That's only a century ago. So as time goes by, we can all remember what the world was like without something and how the world has changed because that something is now in the world. So that's why I ask if there's anyone here 42 years or older, because if you are, you can remember a world without ISKCON. And you can remember a world without Radha Lundaneshwara. And a world without ISKCON or a world without Radha Lundaneshwara is a very bleak place. The world, as we see now, actually, even in those 42 years since the installation of Radha Lundaneshwara, the world has gone crazier and crazier and crazier. You can remember a time, most of us can remember a time before people used to blow themselves up in marketplaces. To when that first started happening, this is unheard of. This is just insane. But it's a very common occurrence in the world now, these kind of things. So I remember I was 19 years old when Srila Prabhupada installed Radha Lundaneshwara. I was 15 years old. My birthday was the day Srila Prabhupada arrived in Boston. I was 15 years old. And I remember that between that time, 15 and 19, the album Dark Side of the Moon came out. Pink Floyd song, Pink Floyd. I can remember a world before Pink Floyd.
No.
Yeah. I can remember a world before Elvis Presley. I look pretty young, but I'm just backdated. But there was a song. I can't remember the name of the song, but there was a verse in it that went, walking around on a patch of ground in your hometown, waiting for someone or something to come and show you the way. You run and you run to catch up to the sun, but it's sinking, racing around to come up behind you again. The sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. Well, that's a world without Radha Lundaneshwara. That's a world without ISKCON. The world, when Srila Prabhupada came into the Western world, mid-60s, was a world gripped with paranoia. The practical inevitability, the practical inevitability of thermonuclear war was pretty much fixed in everybody's mind. It seems quite a long, distant scenario now. But in those days, as it was said, the height of the Cold War was a time when people were very, very, very anxious about the situation in the world. Now, of course, times change, situations change, but basically the anxiety doesn't go away. I'm just giving a little thumbnail sketch here of the kind of world that Srila Prabhupada was placed into in the mid-60s. And that was the time when, looking back now, analysts of economics and finances say that was probably pretty much the time when capitalism and socialism had their peak time. But it was also a time of, within the Western world especially, huge, huge upheaval, huge turmoil. The Vietnam War was raging. The Vietnam War was a proxy war between the socialists and the communists, the capitalists, basically America and Russia, and to some extent in those days China, although China was not the powerhouse that it is now. But Vietnam was like, instead of having a world war, they were having a little proxy war down there in Vietnam. But at the same time, the atmosphere was, well, this could escalate, this could escalate, this could escalate. And everybody knew that the Americans and the Russians, they had enough nuclear arsenal to blow each other up 1,000 times. So this was the situation. And people of my generation, many, many, many people of my generation were saying, enough. There's another song, what was it? You kick your legs to throw it off. You say, okay, I've had enough. What more can you show me? What more can you show me? Now everything's gone into 3D cinema. But, you know, what is it? It's the same old stuff, just with a little twist to it. You put on these glasses and you see the thing in 3D. Big deal. The situation in the material world as we know it on this planet now is, to anyone with any intelligence, it's just gone beyond insanity. It's so totally out of control and it is so futile. And I think that's the point that we can all understand about material life. That we come to a point where this is futile. And it is even more futile because in and of itself, it gives no indication that there is anything else. In fact, in and of itself, it gives all indications that there is absolutely nothing but this. And that's just unbearable for any person with any sensitivity or creativity. There's got to be more than this. So, and I say, I can remember a world without ISKCON and without Radha Lundaneshwara. But in a sense, until we come in contact with them, until now even, they manifest themselves to us. In a sense, the world is without them, or our world is without them until they come into our world. And something we all understand is irrevocably changed within us as a result of that experience. Irrevocably changed. Because this is the truth. This is the absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada has so kindly and carefully and meticulously revealed to us, in such a humble and unassuming way. Just like I always remember the story from the Lilamrita where Mother Jamuna is explaining how after Srila Prabhupada installed Radhananda Mishwara, he stayed for some time, and he oversaw things, made sure that things were going on, that Mother Jamuna, who had taken responsibility Mother, who's the other lady? Malati and Janaki. They'd taken charge of looking after Radhananda Nishwara. And you see the first outfit that they wore, it was just a simple little bit of cloth draped over them. But Srila Prabhupada was happy that things were being done. And then she said, he just said one day, so you follow my instructions and you serve Radhananda Nishwara and your life will be perfect. And then she said, and then he just turned and went. And he was gone. And after a few more years, he just turned and went and was gone completely. But, you know, like most people's lives are such that when it's all over and they're gone, it's as if it never happened. But what a momentous life. What a momentous personality who came in such a humble and unassuming way and left behind the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Who came and left Radhananda Nishwara, and he left them in our care. Of course, he left us in their care. But still, they present themselves in such a way that they must be cared for. So this temple now has existed here in the center of this indescribable place. I was here in my early 30s. I was 33, going on 33 when I first came to take up service here. And I was just almost about to turn 40 when I left. And I hardly came back here then for 28 years. No, what is it? 20? No, I'm sorry, not 28 years. 90, 20 years, 21 years. And the first thing I noticed after coming back here was just how passionate this place is, how fast it is, and how disturbed everybody is. And actually, London, central London, has been like this in terms of the times for a very long time. This was the heart of the British Empire, the most revved up place on the planet. Right back to the days when you read a poem by William Blake called London. And the first verse reads, as I wander through each chartered street, near where the chartered Thames doth flow, I mark in every face I meet marks of weakness, marks of woe. So nothing's changed. Well, the only thing that things have changed, it's got worse. There are more people than ever before. There is more weakness and there is more woe than ever before. And people are whipped up into a frenzy by the influence of the mode of passion, running here, running there, running everywhere. Practically everybody's running in central London. I came back here, I was just 58, and I thought, oh, well, you know, I can maybe get a little place near Radhananda Nishwara and preach here. by Krishna's arrangement, it wasn't to be. And in one sense, I had a great sense of relief about that, because the pace is so intense. And living here in the middle of this is so intense. Actually, I look back now, and I was here on two occasions, from June 83 to September 86, and June 87 to September 90. And those times in the history of this yatra were tumultuous, to say the least. And probably no more so than here, in the centre of London. And I look back and I think, my goodness. I just the physical stress and strain of being here during that time is something that I'll never forget. But actually, then you see it all just pales into insignificance when you walk through these chartered streets in the morning. We used to live down in, or sometimes we lived in Cleveland Street. Sometimes for a while we lived down on the corner of Rathbone Place. And you walk through this early morning London, dodging where people have passed urine in the street, dodging where the bums are sleeping in the doorways, or right out on the sidewalk, or stepping around where the beer cans and bottles and all kinds of other liquor there. You walk through all of this and you walk up that little staircase, and you step into the spiritual world. And really, you wouldn't have it any other way. You wouldn't have it any other way. But here we have the daily darshan of Sri Sri Radhalandaneshwara. And they stand here, they've stood here in central London for 42 years. So many people have come and gone in that time through this temple. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people have come and gone. And indeed, I am one of them. I've come and I've gone. Somehow or another, I'm always drawn back here. I first saw Radhalandaneshwara in 1971, in Adelaide, in South Australia. That fabulous album that those devotees made, the Radha Krishna Temple album, the first original album. I don't know if anybody's got it now. That was, I can remember a day before CDs. An album was a 12-inch vinyl. And the Radha Krishna Temple album had a picture of Radhalandaneshwara on the cover. I think probably in one of them, or if not in their original outfit. And I went to a New Year's Eve party, New Year's Eve 1971. Yeah, New Year's Eve of 1971. And somebody brought that album. And I remember just being immediately attracted to this album, to this picture. This beautiful little boy and girl, so innocent and simple, but so happy and peaceful. And then listening to the album, they had the words, you know, on a sheet inside. So I was, not after a while, I wasn't just listening. I was singing along with it. Of course, anybody who knows my singing realizes that it's pretty terrible sort of thing to be witnessing. So the people at that party, they got sick, so sick of it, they just put headphones on me and asked me not to sing, but just listen to it. But they were sick of hearing it out loud, so then I just sat there listening to it and reading the words. And the sound of those voices, the sound of those voices of those devotees, and the vision of Radha Landanishwara just somehow struck me that the Radha Krishna London Temple is somewhere I belonged, somewhere I should be. And it was all somehow very familiar to me. And I never dreamed then. I never met a devotee before then. I'd never met a devotee. So I never dreamed that then 12 years later I'd be here and engaged in their service. Never dreamed. Who would have dreamed? Who could dream of a life like this? Huh? Beyond your wildest dreams. Where are you from, Jainatai Prabhu?
Washington, D.C.
How old are you now?
39.
Born 3 years after Radha Landanishwara were installed here. Grew up in Washington, D.C. Did you ever imagine you'd have a life like this? Could you imagine this?
No.
No. Truth is stranger than any fiction. Truth is stranger than any fiction. So you all have a special blessing that you are here serving Radha Landanishwara. Cherish this time, as it explains in Bhagavatam. Drink deep of this deathless nectar. Because you won't always be here. That's reality. You won't always be here. Time will come for one reason or another. You won't be here. And that's all right. That's as it must be. As Bhakta George said, all things must pass. But you carry away wherever you go. You carry away the lotus feet of Radha Landanishwara in your heart. I think it's a general understanding throughout the fraternity of Sisterhood of ISKCON that Sri Sri Radha Landanishwara have a very special charm that you don't find anywhere else. And Srila Prabhupada, he made the point that actually Krishna has tricked us and he has appeared here. Very special advent of the Lord to appear in London. The first marble Radha Krishna deities that Srila Prabhupada installed anywhere in the world, he installed in London. And that's very, very significant historically in a greater sense because, as I said, this was the heart of the British Empire. And that was the real thing. The British Empire was no mean thing, no puny thing. In the recorded history of the Western world, there's never been an empire like the British Empire. And as they say, the crown in the jewel in the crown of the British Empire was India. And the British Protestants, Christians, had a very definite program throughout the last 200 years of the history of the British Empire to convert this heathen world to Christianity. In the late 18th century, there was a prize offered at, I think, Cambridge University. I hope so, because I'm preaching there. Scuttled that place. But a prize of £40,000 in something like 1780, £40,000 was offered to whoever could come up with the best refutation of Hinduism. So it's no accident. Actually, Srila Prabhupada was thinking for a very long time that he would begin his preaching in the West, in London. And as soon as he had a foothold in North America, London was the place to go. And still London is the place to come in so many ways, for so many reasons, in the political and economic structure of the world, even though America has been a superpower now for some time, and although America is on the wane, you have China and India now coming up as superpowers, but still, and Brazil, these places, but still, practically every major business deal in the world goes through London. And they're planning now to build an airport out in Kent, in the estuary of the Thames, that an international airport that will cater primarily for air traffic from China and Brazil. To still keep London as a hub for the planet. And everybody more or less accepts, yes, that's this empire, the external trappings of the empire have gone. But still, there's a gravitas about London. So it's no accident. It's no accident. You see here, there's a thing like, there's this concept, planet waves. Here we are in the center of London. Here I am, a little boy from Hillbilly, South Australia, one of the furthest points away from this place in the world. And here I am. Because Radha Landanishwara, they appeared to me in that place. So their potency is mystical, their potency is planetary. There is a conception sometimes that's understood about how a deity manifests his potency. Of course, we understand Krishna can manifest all his potency anywhere at any time, but deities by their own free will, sweet will, they act in certain ways. So some deities, they just manifest their potency within the household of a family. Others within a village, others within maybe a city, within a district or a state. But then there are deities like Radha Landanishwara who they manifest their potency throughout the whole planet. Still, London is very much the crossroads of the world, and still very much it's the crossroads of the ISKCON world. So many devotees, you know, Prabhu, so many. You spend any time in this temple, devotees from all over the world come to see Radha Landanishwara. And they are so very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Actually, we're also blessed with I think, probably the most beautiful and blissful deity of Srila Prabhupada that you'll find anywhere in our whole society. And obviously, he's so beautiful and blissful because he's bathing in the darshan of Radha Landanishwara. Well, when I came to take up my service here, ISKCON in the UK was in a very difficult situation. I came here a little over 1 year after Jaitirtha Prabhu had fallen down, and with one thing and another, he'd left ISKCON and he'd taken a good number of his initiated disciples with him. And the situation was very difficult, very, very difficult financially. I was just the other night at the Conway Hall when Pragosh Prabhu was talking about his experience here in the early days of the temple and how there was so much shortage of things, and I kept mouthing to him, and he couldn't understand what I was. No money. We had thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds worth of debts. We were juggling creditors all the time. It was so difficult. So much so, by the mid '80s, there was serious discussion about whether we should sell Solo Street or not. Serious discussion. Whether we were able to keep Solo Street. And whether we were going to sell this place was a very confronting challenge. There's a certain what is the word? There's a certain privilege and a certain responsibility when you act in the service of temple president. And when you look back on a situation like that, you realize that it's in those times of hardship that, especially in a place like this, that you have to make the decision about how much are you going to put on the line? How much are you going to put on the line? And I think probably that same challenge is there all the time because of the circumstances that we live in here. How much are you prepared to put on the line? And I look back and I think I remember at that time, I remember saying to myself, well, when the question came up, are we going to sell Soho Street? And I remember thinking, not on my watch, we're not. And in a circumstance like that, you take a stand like that and you very, very quickly feel the reciprocation of Radha Landanishwara. I think one of the most beautiful and beguiling things about this temple is that you have such a close darshan with the Lord. He allows you to come so close, and he is so beguiling and so welcoming that you can very easily reveal your heart and your mind to him. And as soon as you do, he reciprocates. It is a fact, Krishna says, yayitamam prapajante tanstataiva bhajami aham. As you surrender unto me, I reward you accordingly. So, this is especially true in the case of your relationship with Sri Sri Radha Landaneshwara. And somehow or another, one thing led to another, and then the temple was saved. We didn't have to sell the temple. So I feel that in my life, the opportunity to come in touch with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to come in touch with Srila Prabhupada and his teachings, and to come in touch with Sri Sri Radha Landaneshwara and their service is something that I can only be eternally grateful for. Such unexpected mercy, such unexpected benevolence in one's life. Is something that when one contemplates it, one is always stunned. How has this happened? How can this be? Has this really happened? And of course the answer is yes, this has happened. This is happening. We are here. And I think you will all find as you grow older, as I see in myself, I see in my wife, I see in all devotees who've in some way or another given themselves to the service of Radha Landaneshwara, you're always drawn to come back. And while you're not here, they're never very far from your thoughts. And also, while you're not here, you're always in some way fretful about how everything's going on. How is everything going on? And you find yourself actually praying for the welfare of this little boy and girl. That may they always be safe and secure. That's far out. Here you're praying to God for the welfare of God. But this is the magic and the magical charm of Radha Landaneshwara. They capture you in the core of your heart and they never let you go. No matter what you have to go through. And indeed you may have to go through some very difficult things. in your life. In his lecture on the teachings of Queen Kunti, on the verse where Kunti is saying to Krishna that now all of our troubles are gone and you are leaving, then let all of the troubles come back, because then we will see you. And in that lecture, it becomes one of the chapters of the teachings of Queen Kunti. Srila Prabhupada says, don't think just because you become a devotee, horrible things won't happen. And he cites the case of Devaki and Kunti. But I think probably most poignant of all is the case of Devaki. She became Krishna's mother. But before that, she had to live in the prison of Kamsa and bear 7 children that were all taken from her and murdered. Well, that is something that is a misery and a catastrophe or a horror that I don't think you could even begin to contemplate the meaning of it. So, horrible things may be there for you to negotiate in the process of becoming free from anatta in this world. Although we are at the lotus feet of Radhalanda Nishwara, still we all feel at times the pullings of Maya. And indeed she may pull you away. And she may give you a right run for your money. Take a tip from one who knows. That's a fact. That's a fact. But neha bikrama nashyosti pratyavayana vidyate. There is no loss or diminution in this process. And you may be taken into a situation away from Radhalanda Nishwara where you have to go through something in order to become relieved of something that you can't necessarily give up simply by being engaged in service. But neha bikrama nashyosti, Radhalanda Nishwara will never forget your service, and they will never forget you. And in times of extreme miseries, extreme difficulties, my experience is that they will come to you. They will come to you and comfort you and let you know that actually you are protected. And that is a very great relief to experience. They are very, very extremely merciful deities. And they are very, very grateful for any service rendered to them. So you can know that if you put it on the line for Radhalanda Nishwara, they'll be there for you. I didn't expect to be having to say anything this morning, so I won't keep you too much longer. I just wanted to give a little reflection also on what I said about how when you're not here you fret about things. I think probably, and I don't claim any distinction in this regard, it's just I know the time that Savamangala and I spent here was one of those times of peak experience, because the stakes were so high, the danger was so great, the difficulty was so deep, I know for myself, even though in one sense, in a fundamental sense, I don't really have any qualification to have any concern or any right to have any real concern, but I've always had a particular concern in the last 21 years now that things were not always being managed as nicely as they could have been. Devotees were not as happy as they could have been. But what I think I wanted to end by saying that in the 3 years now since I've been back in England, I can say I don't have any such concerns anymore, because I feel the temple is in very able hands. And that makes me very happy to see that. That there was, and I see, I came here and, like I said, I was just 33 years old when I came here, and I think Jainadai Prabhu, you weren't much older than that when you took over here. Right. And in a sense, when I came here and I saw Jainadai Prabhu acting as the president, in many ways I thought, oh, he's just, it's like seeing myself 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 26, 7 years ago. 28 years ago. And that's very encouraging. But even more encouraging to me is that as I see, in the years now, 3 years, I'm even more encouraged because I see one of the most difficult things I think you can be given to do in this con is to be the president of this temple. Because it's so hard to just live here and deal with the stress and the strain of everything. People have responsibilities, and I see, another wonderful example is Mother Ram Shakti. Mother Ram Shakti came here when Sarva and I were here. But she's been here ever since. But she, for all her greatness and tenacity, she never had to carry the whole place on her head. And it doesn't matter how many departments heads there are and how good they are or how much collegiate mentality there is in the temple council. At the end of the day, as who was it? Truman said, the buck stops here. The temple president bears the responsibility for the whole place. If it goes down, they're not going to come and get on the case of the head pujari or the sankirtan leader or the bhakta leader or the restaurant manager. The responsibility lies with the temple president. So it's a great source of pleasure and a great source of encouragement to me to see that this temple is flourishing. And I look and I see so many bright faces here, so many happy faces. 42 years because there has not been that steadiness at the helm. The ups and downs and so forth. When I came here, the temple had been in existence for almost 24 years. 14 years, isn't it? 69, 79, 14 years only. And in that time, there'd been over 20 presidents. I wish you well, Jainatai Prabhu.
And you will.
Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Śrī Śrī Rādhā Nandanīśvara ki jai. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Now, as always at this time, usually, are we going to have Rādhā Nandanīśvara Prasādam now? That's all I really came for. That's another thing. No matter what goes on here, Rādhā Nandanīśvara Prasādam, everybody says, oh, Rādhā Nandanīśvara Prasādam. Haribo.
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 Jai.
What now?
Sava?
Haribo.
Come on, this time. Do you want to say something? If I'd have known you wanted her to speak, I wouldn't have rattled on so long. Come on. Gotta ignore it and get on with it.
Hare Krishna, Mahani. I met the lessons of Śrīla Prabhupāda and to their lordships. She won the tie, she done with Balade Subhadra, she won London Shore. They look lovely, don't they? I joined the temple for a burial place. I was brought there by Shamsundar Prabhu, who I met in the street. And at that time the policy was that you had to visit for a week before you could move in.
A week.
And I don't think they wanted me to move in, but the temple president was very merciful. So I moved in right away. And at that time, Leela Shakti was head pujari, Mandakini. I think Mandakini's been here. Some of you may know Mandakini. She always looks very ecstatic. She's never changed. She's got this wonderful ecstatic smile on her face. And Lord Jagannath was there, sitting on top. You've seen pictures of Berry Place, the altar, Ralanishwar underneath, and a big shelf on top. We had to climb up ladders to bless Lord Jagannath. And of course, when the deities were installed, that wasn't secure, that platform, and it started falling down in the middle of the installation. And Jamuna Tami Srila Prabhupada was completely exemplifying the mood of chivalry, and he held it up on his own before the others managed to come and help hold up the platform that Jagannath was on. In danger of falling on Rādhā Nandanīśvara Prabhupāda. Jamuna said Prabhupāda was very fast, immediately, in that mood of chivalry. And I've got a photograph of that. Prabhupāda's eyes are like really shining, you know. So right from the beginning, I remember the dress they wore, I think, on that album. It was a red and green dress, I think. Do you remember? Mm. And there was a, I remember there was a little something that got ripped there. I remember we put that dress on. I don't know why nobody sewed it up, but we used to put a flower there. It's a little problem. It's a trade secret. And I think I'd only been there a day, and someone gave me Krishna's dishes to wash up. Right from the beginning, you know, you were captured by their lordships, by their beauty. And my first service, I was just talking with Ram Shakti this morning, because she buys the flowers sometimes. And she loves that service because it's so absorbing. She said she was going around the market for 4 hours looking for just the right, that lilac-y pink was the nearest to the colour of the embroidery on the lace. So I mentioned to her that they have that colour in these flowers, and she said she was looking around the market for 4 hours to find that exact colour. That's always been a tradition here, that the deities have very nice garlands and they usually match the outfits very nicely. And that tradition's carried on, which is really nice. So that was my first service, and the Covent Garden used to be down in the old
Covent Garden.
It was in Covent Garden, yeah. Now it's New Covent Garden. And I couldn't always get a vehicle to go there, so it's like 4 in the morning, running. I used to be scared running through the street with these big boxes, carrying the boxes. Yeah, I think Ram Shakti is still sometimes, if there's not a lift, she comes on the train, isn't she? And she's telling me that somebody carried the boxes for her all the way up to the temple room and had darshan and brought Landeshwar. And also there was one young boy at the market when I was going in Covent Garden, and called Dennis. He was just a young guy then, helping another, the person who owned the stand. And then as time went on, he got more experience, and eventually he bought his own stand and moved to the new Covent Garden market. And for many, many years, he gave us lots and lots of donations. So Ram Lanishwara touched a lot of people somehow. Krishna saved him. You know, he was a bit of a drunkard, I think. Once he fell in front of a tube train, and somehow it just stopped in time. He only got grazed and bruised. And when he was saying, he said, "Oh, Krishna saved me." He used to give us a lot of flowers. I'm not sure if his stand is open now.
Still does, right?
Yes. Yeah, is he still there, Rasha? Yeah, he really likes the devotees. He was taking prasadam. And he remembers I went back after 15 years, and he remembered. Anyway, the service of their lordships, you know, they're very kind, they engage us in so many different ways. Like my husband said, it's like the spiritual world. I think especially when you step into the deity room, it really is, you know, a few inches out of the regular space. But I feel very grateful that I was invited to come into the Lordship's presence. But the other wonderful thing is to be in association with Ram Lanishwara's devotees. I don't know everybody, but I see a lot of really nice devotees every time we come. Really lovely kirtans, dedicated garland makers, and all kinds of services. And I think that was the thing that also we got very bonded together, our little team, when we were here. And we're still in touch. And we still have a very, very close kind of bond because of serving Ram Lanishwara. They were in the center. Recently we were in Wales when Navadvip Prabhu is. I think most of you must know Navadvip looks after Jagannath and he's sick. And we had a program there, and quite a few old Ram Lanishwara devotees came to that program. The first program, 40 devotees, quite a lot of those were old servants of Radha Lanishwara. and they're still in the center. Satyabhama, she used to address the deities, and Navadvip, Paramakarna, Kasturi, Manjari. I can't remember everybody who was there, but nearly all, you know, Radha Manishwara's mercy is spread all over. And I think most people who, I know sometimes I went on Facebook to try and get some donations and things for their dress, and I got responses from all over the globe, people who have served Radha Manishwara, Jayalita in Trinidad. She's watching. And what's her name? Scotland.
Gauravani.
Gauravani in Scotland. Rasheshwari in Manchester. She contributed towards this outfit. And Sachin also contributed to this outfit, and a lot of other people, as they could, gave £20 here and there, and it all added up.
Sachinandan Karunika.
Sachinandan Karunika. Yeah, and...
gave £600.
Yeah. So, the congregation, the community, and the network, that Radha Manishwara wove in a magic network, a beautiful network. And we're all kind of somehow hanging in that magic net, mystical net, Premanjali. I'm just really happy to be here. I can't help remembering, I've often wanted to write a history of some special moments in Radha Manishwara's temple here, and remembering Vilasini, who was a head pujari here for a long time, set a very good standard of cleanliness and supervision of the kitchen, and new people used to go to cook, even if they'd had some experience, she'd always supervise and see everything was very nicely done. And she really made a very amazing contribution to the service of Radha Manishwara, and she's left this world now. She had cancer, so she had to give up her service as head pujari. Lila Shakti has been serving Radha Manishwara for many years, so when we see them, we think of all the servants as well, which is very special. And when we see each other, you know, that's what binds us together. Which is, Prabhupada created a miracle, really. Not only did he ask Krishna to come, but he allowed us to be a family around Krishna. And that's one thing I always really appreciated about this temple. And I think it goes right back to Jamuna being the original Mataji in this Radha Manishwara's temple. Because when I joined, everybody was talking about Jamuna. She had already gone to India. And Ron Shaw and Nina Shakti and all the devotees who were there before me, they spoke with so much appreciation and love about this lady who'd trained them up. And that's a really precious thing, you know, to keep that respect and love for people who've shared some service with you and shown you how to do something. Because it's such an intimate thing, actually, to share something you've learned in the Lord's service with another devotee. So that's always been there in this temple, a very, very intimate kind of association of the devotees, and it's still that family feeling when you come here. Mm. That's very nice. I think I'm going to stop now because we have some service to do for Srila Prabhupada at the other temple in London. Thanks. And thanks to Molly Manohar for encouraging us and making a little offering to the deities and helping us out with a bit of extra Lakshmi.
Didn't take much encouragement. You were spontaneously encouraged.
Haribol, Jai Jai, Shri Shri Radha Manishwara.
Jai.
All glories to Sahul Devan.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
Jai.
Very good. Quarters in Bombay, they weren't finished. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was getting very weak and very ill in the latter part of 76. But he insisted, I want to go and sit in my quarters there. So they made a big big effort and they fixed them up enough so, you know, it was still a building site, the whole building, but they fixed his quarters enough for him to go and stay there, and he was there. And giving a darshan, and he wasn't well, he was really weak and leaning back in the bolsters, and not strong at all. And in the middle of the darshan, one man got up, stood up in the middle of everybody and said, oh, Swamiji, give me your blessings. And Prabhupada just looked at him. And looked at him for several seconds. Everybody was getting fidgety, especially the man. He's like, he stood up to make this big show, and then Prabhupada's just not saying anything, just looking at him. And then Prabhupada started to talk. He said, such a big society I have, such an big international society. So many problems from all over the world, and they all come on my head. He said, you can't imagine the headache I have. And he looked at the man for a couple more seconds, and then he said, so, if you want my blessings, you take some of my headache. He said, so take some headache for Radha Landanishwara, and you'll get blessings showered on you.
Shishi Radha Landanishwara ki
jai.
Shishi Radha Landanishwara das Prabhu ki
jai.
Landanishwara Prabhu ki
jai.
Sarva Mangala ki
jai.
Vishwadeva Bhakti, is she still here? Mother Archana also, where is she? She's upstairs.
She's upstairs.
Mother Archana ki
jai.
Please let us express our gratitude and appreciation to these great souls for coming and giving us their association and deep, profound inspiration by chanting very, very loudly, three Hari Bol.
Hari Bol! Hari
Bol! Hari Bol!
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Okay, so the festivities will go on.